The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
We'll take some Bears calls in a little bit. Bears, Packers, Packer Week. It's Carmen and Yurko. Yurko's Bear Necessities in about 15 minutes. Todd Furman live in Vegas at 11:30. I mean, it's big, Bears-Packers, when Paige Spranick's coming to town for a little meet-and-greet post-game at the Crestwood location, which we've been to. We love that book.
Yeah, we opened up the baseball season there, Carm.
We did. I love PointsBet. I use the PointsBet app. I endorse PointsBet. I think they get a little bit more bang out of their buck with Paige, I'm just guessing.
I am, too.
She has 3.5 million Instagram followers, of which I am one. I love the golf videos on Instagram. Paige Spranick joins Carmen and Yurko now on the Corona Hotline on ESPN 1000. And the ESPN Chicago app. You're out west, I believe, so it's early. Have you gotten 9 holes in already, or do you plan to get out on the golf? It seems like you golf every day. I'm so envious.
First off, thanks for having me. I'm actually in North Dakota right now, so it's a little bit colder than beautiful Arizona.
Oh, my God. What's happening in North Dakota?
Elk hunt.
Yeah, elk hunt. What is going on there?
There's an ex-golf opening. They're one of my partners that I work with. So I'm out there for this. And so I'm sitting in an ex-golf right now talking to you guys.
Awesome. All right. I saw like 2 weeks ago, I think it was, you were at a charity event somewhere on the East Coast. You had a hole-in-one. Gary Player is standing there on the tee box with you. You've had 4 holes-in-1. Is that right?
Yeah, that was my 4th one.
Jeez. And does it ever get old? Like, hole-in-one. You seem pretty excited about it.
I almost peed my pants. I was so shocked. I was not expected to go in. And I look over, and it's in front of Gary Player. There were so many people around, and they were all filming. So the fact that, like, I'm going to have that forever on camera. But my reaction was not smooth at all. I need to work on that.
You look like it was genuinely like, oh, my God, it went in. And for someone who played on professional golf and college golf at such a high level, I'm like, do you guys ever just be like, but it seems like no matter what, a hole-in-one is always pretty thrilling, so that's cool. I know you're coming to town from North Dakota. You'll be coming here. You're going to do a little meet and greet with fans at the PointsBet Crestwood Sportsbook location, which is really cool. You'll like it. It's kind of like a Vegas-style layout they have there. It's nice. How much do you get into the NFL? Like, do you bet on the NFL a lot? Do you watch it a lot?
I watch it a ton, especially working with PointsBet now. I have been such a fan of football, college football, and NFL, and so it's nice to finally be able to cover something other than golf. I'm unfortunately a Steelers fan, and it's been a bit of a hard year for us so far, but I follow it religiously now, and my picks haven't been too bad. So if you want to check out all of that, we're making a lot of fun content on the PointsBet Instagram account, which is PointsBet USA.
How about college football? Who's your favorite college football team?
It's got to be Arizona.
You would think, but their football program's not top-notch.
Is it Arizona?
Yeah, so here's the thing. I don't really have a football team. So my dad played football at Pitt when they won the national championship with, like, Tony Dorsett.
76.
So he wants me to root for Pitt. But, you know, the only thing I always stick with is I root against Notre Dame. That is what I stay true with.
Yeah, you inherited that from the old man for sure. You got to cheer against Notre Dame no matter what. Did your dad want you to go to Pitt? Or is he cool going to Arizona because he got to play golf?
Yeah, he wanted me to play golf professionally, and he was like, anywhere that can get you to that level, I am more than okay with, and especially if it's a full ride. So we checked both of those boxes off, and unfortunately never made it to the playing professionally for a long time. But, he's a little disappointed with that one.
Did you get a chance to get up to Whistling Straight for the Ryder Cup, and what were your thoughts about the way the USA team played?
Oh, I was supposed to be there, and unfortunately I couldn't make it. So I was so bummed about that, but I called it. I thought the U.S. was going to dominate. That team is so good, and they're going to be so good for such a long time. Young players, they're so hungry, and I think we're going to see a big swing with the Ryder Cup, where we always know that Europe was dominating, and I think USA is going to dominate for years to come.
I think we have the better younger players right now. It's true. Paige Sprannick is our guest. It's Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. So you've got 3.5 million Instagram followers. That officially qualifies as an influencer. Like, does that happen organically? Do you set out to try to do something like that? I mean, like, how did it happen?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird story because I never wanted this and I never sought it out. So when I just finished college, I was kind of in a weird point in my life where I didn't know what I wanted to do. And my dad was like, and I was kind of over golf at the time. He's like, let's just play professionally for a year. We'll figure it out. And I didn't have any financial backing. So I was caddying and running junior golf clinics. And I played a tournament. I was sitting in an ice cream shop with my mom. And all of a sudden, my phone was blowing up like crazy from all of my friends. And they're like, someone wrote an article about you. They found your pictures on Instagram. And so I went from being a very normal college kid and having like 500 followers to 100,000 followers overnight. And wow, my life instantly changed. And I didn't really have any financial backing. So I was like, how can I leverage this to play professional golf? And how can I get like free golf balls or anything I could get? And so it's crazy that it has turned into what it is today, because I never even had any media training. I had no idea what I was doing. I took public speaking classes in college and I would like throw up every single time. So it's such a shock to everyone that I'm doing what I'm doing, and even to me as well, because I've always been more shy and like introverted. Now it's like all these millions of people are watching me do what I do.
There's some irony in there. Did you, like, you gave it a good try to make it, you know, to make it professionally,
on the LPGA,
right? Like,
tour.
Does golf ever, like, does the grind like wear you down to where almost like you're off of golf? Like, did that ever happen?
Oh, 100%. So I played junior golf at a really high level. I was ranked, you know, top 20 in the world. Went to a Division I school, had a full ride there. And it was basically a job from the time I started golf. And so all of junior golf, all of college, and then the year professionally, I wasn't playing for fun anymore. You're playing for money. I mean, even in junior golf, you're playing to get a full ride scholarship. And college, you're playing for your team. There's always so much pressure on me, and especially when I started my pro career out, I had a ton of expectations on me, and a lot of people were watching what I was doing. And that first year is a year that you fail and you learn, and I never was able to do that in private. So the bad rounds were mocked online, and the good rounds were never good enough. And so, you know, people always say that I had, you know, that a bad year when I played professionally, but I really didn't. I played around 20 tournaments, made money in all of them, but two. I made a cut at the Scottish Open, which is a European tour event. I had a win. So I did play well. It just so happened that the two very public tournaments that I did play in, I didn't play well. But it's all mental, and there's so much pressure and so much that goes into it. And I think that people don't realize how hard it is to play at the highest level. I can go out even now and shoot par or better easily. But what those girls are doing on tour, they're shooting 62, 63s. And, you know, I'm shooting like a 70, and I'm not even sniffing where they are. So again, it's just that next level, and I didn't have it mentally. So it's nice to play golf for fun now. And when I hit a bad shot, not be as, you know, worried about it. So it's nice to kind of like relearn the game again and try to find love in what I used to love about the game.
It seems like you enjoy it. I mean, because I just, on the videos you post and stuff on the YouTube channel, I mean, it, like, yeah, it seems like the love is back when there's not maybe as much pressure and you realize you are playing it for fun. So that's pretty cool.
I got to thank Paige. She did something for my little buddy, Louis Bufano. Teddy Greenstein had her make a video for my little guy, Louis.
Oh, yeah?
And Louis loves Paige Sprannick. I mean, absolutely loves it.
Oh.
And when that video was produced, Louis melted.
Good.
I am telling you. So I thank you and I appreciate that. And I'm glad Teddy
good thing
got
Teddy
a chance to
up.
Get that thing
yeah,
done.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Wonderful.
Who's got better NFL picks, you or Teddy?
So I have better everything than Teddy. My golf picks are better. My football picks are better, college and NFL. Hockey, I'm better. Baseball, I'm better. All of the above. The only thing he has over me, and I'm sure he's listening right now, so I have to say this, is we did a long drive contest, and he did outdrive me just by a little bit. But it was the best drive he's ever hit in his entire life, and it will never be done ever again.
I can't even believe that. I mean, I've played golf with Teddy.
Teddy is so bad.
Yeah, you could give him 18 strokes and still whoop him. That would be my guess.
Put the putter in Teddy's hand, and he's lost.
I mean, please, give me a break. That is the other thing you got out of him. You're a much better golfer. What's one great golf tip you'd give to amateur golfers? Like, and it's hard out over the phone, I get it, but like, is there one thing that golfers should think about with the way they approach their stance, their grip? Yeah, like, is there something that you'd say, do this and you'll be a better golfer?
So I think what a lot of amateurs struggle with when they are playing is they're focused on swing mechanics, and the most important thing is to focus on one good swing key that works for you. So when I'm going and I'm playing, I focus on tempo, and I see a lot of people focusing on position. So when you're going out with your buddies, a tournament, whatever it may be, on the range, don't think about your swing. Think about something that works for you. So either it's one good swing key thought or tempo, but most people just get really quick, and focusing just on tempo is going to make such a big difference when you're out there playing.
Tempo. I love it. Tempo. You're going to be doing a putting challenge, if I'm not mistaken, right, during this meet and greet at the Crestwood Points Bet location Sunday after the football game, right?
Yes. There's going to be so much fun. We're doing a putting contest. You take pictures with me, the meet and greets. We have a lot of fun prizes. So you don't want to miss it.
Awesome. And all Points Bet customers will get $25 in free bets just for trying a putt, $100 if you actually sink it. So you can go out, hang with Paige, and have a fun Sunday afternoon watching football and all the other great stuff at Points Bet. Enjoy North Dakota and enjoy Chicago this weekend when you get here. And we really appreciate the time. Your Instagram account really is a lot of fun. And so keep it up. And thanks for joining us, Paige. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Talk to you later. Thanks, Paige Brannick, a big part of Points Bet. And like I said, she'll be at that Crestwood location this weekend, whooping Teddy's ass in NFL picks.
I'm not shocked.
I can't believe Teddy outdrove her.
You know,
I can't believe it.
I'm a little down on Teddy because...
down on Teddy?
Yeah, because when we played that first golf outing this year, you know, he's the one who uncovered the range ball thing partly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then he videoed me. He videoed me hitting the ball in the water, and he said, Merck, he goes, you donate this much money to the charity, I won't post it. I said, no, you're not going to hold...
Which time did he catch you hitting the drive in the water? You know, most guys look at it and they go, man, there's 240 a carry, man. I'm going to have problems getting across this. This one was 80 yards a carry.
Right, exactly. Mark, you should have donated to the charity.
No, because he's forcing me to donate.
He's blackmailing you, but it's charity. He's not saying, give me $50 for the Teddy G fund.
And I said, no. He's like, I'm like, you, and don't post it. You're a guest here today, and he still posted it.
Teddy doesn't care. He's not afraid.
Teddy's a partner. You got to remember that. He's a partner of ours.
Oh, my God. All right, let's grab...
And the best thing about Paige, she's Croatian.
She is Croatian descent. Croatian, and her dad was on that that national championship team at Pitt. Yep. Just a little bit before the Jimbo era, right? Yeah, because that was Tony Dorsett. So a little bit before Jimbo would have been.
Just a smidge before.
A couple years before.
77, yeah. It was Hugh Green. Remember? Hugh Green was there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right, Jimbo was with Marino.
With Marino, correct. Yeah. Yes. All right, when we come back, I do want to take some NFL calls. Somebody's got a Brady conspiracy theory on the line. Oh, boy. Bears-Packers thoughts, 312-332-3776. Are we feeling too good about the Bears right now? I think a lot of us feel good. This is maybe the best we've felt all year. The Bears have a chance against Aaron Rodgers and the Pack. Aaron Rodgers is 21-5 against our beloved, including the playoff win. 21-5.
They're like a Maserati, but they're missing, you know, One of their cylinders is a little popping.
Well, that's not good if there's a hole in the cylinder. You're almost going to give you the bear necessities coming up next.
It's time once again to find out how the
Bears
secure a victory this week.
Bears.
As the Carmen and Yurko Show presents.
Well, that's just great.
The Bear Necessities.
You hear that, Ed? Bears. Now you're putting the whole station in jeopardy.
Look for the Bear Necessities, the simple Bear Necessities. Forget about
the fine players, the fine men and women of the Chicago Wolves. The puck drops for the Wolves season at Allstate tomorrow night against their rivals, the Ice Hogs. Go to ChicagoWolves.com to buy your tickets. Oh,
Rockford Mirko. Coming to town.
Rockford's
I'm excited.
Coming to town.
Darn.
Hawks are in New Jersey tonight. You can break down that game a little bit later on. But, Yurko, I want Bears and Packers breakdown from you, my friend.
Carm,
please tell us, what are the Bear necessities for week 7?
Carm, I'm glad you asked. These are the Bear necessities for how the Chicago Bears are going to beat the Green Bay Packers on Sunday at Soldier Field on the lakefront. Necessity number one.
Necessity number one.
With the way the Chicago Bears are playing right now, you've got to understand exactly what they're doing. They're going to put that sixth offensive lineman in there. They're going to run.
Yeah.
Until the daddy takes the T-Bird away.
That's right.
Okay? That's the direction these guys are starting to head. I like that, Mike. A little music involved,
great.
Huh? Until daddy takes the T-Bird away, they're going to run. They're going to hand the ball off, and now it's going to be the young kid that gets it because
Khalil
of
Herbert.
COVID protocol.
Yeah.
So it'll be the young kid that gets it. They activate somebody else to give him a little bit of spell, but he's the guy that's going to go ahead and carry it. So it's run. Key number two, or as they say, necessity number two.
Mm-hmm.
I want more running out of Ryan Fields, okay?
Or
scrambling?
Justin.
Yeah, Justin. Sorry, Justin Fields. More running out of Fields. Let's just do it that way, okay? More running out of Fields.
Yes.
And I'm talking about running as like being a little bit more elusive in the pocket, because when he gets trapped in the pocket, sometimes he doesn't have that escapability that I thought he would normally have. So I'd like to see a little bit more of that and more north-south running, get down the field, especially if you recognize two under, which is two deep coverage with everybody else playing man-to-man underneath.
So that's like,
you see that right away, find a way to break out of the pocket, you're going to have about 15 yards crystal clear.
A two-deep shell kind of?
No, it's not a two-deep shell. It's too deep.
Too deep at everybody
but
else.
But with everybody running man under coverage,
man
right? So they'll latch onto a guy with their back turned to the line of scrimmage.
Gotcha.
When you recognize and see that, go ahead and break fast and break free.
Got it.
And make things happen for you. I think that it ultimately frustrates the living hell out of the defense.
Because they're not looking at the next thing they turn on. Oh, man, there's Justin Fields.
Bear necessity. Number three, the pressure on the quarterback has been absolutely fantastic.
Yep.
And I say pressure, not necessarily sacks. People fall in love with sack numbers. I fall in love with pressure and how much they're getting on them and whether they're going to have it in a consistent basis. Thank heavens Robert Quinn has come back from where? I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know where he's come from. I don't know what was wrong. But he seems to be healthy and he seems to be flying around the football field. Some of the best things that I've seen. Key number four. He doesn't throw interceptions, Aaron Rodgers, but he has thrown interceptions this year at more of a pace than I think he has in his whole career. I think there's going to be some opportunities where the ball's going to be up in the air. He's going to let his receivers make plays. I need the Bears and Vildor, my guy, because I think he's going to get attacked a little bit more. I need Vildor to step up and maybe get his hands on the piggy and come down with an interception.
Does Jalen follow?
Coming
up? Okay.
Bear necessity, number five.
Here we go.
Key matchup.
Key matchup. Here we go.
And I would.
Would you follow him?
Follow Davante Adams with my best player, my best corner, if that's what I believe he's my best corner.
Especially that without Scantling and all
that,
right?
If I've got confidence, he can play both sides of the field.
Okay.
Right now, he's a right cornerback, setting up, opening up specific ways, you know? On that right side, he's very comfortable with it. If he can play the left side and go over, remember now, you're going to switch your other guy then, too. So you've got to be confident in Vildor being able to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the only way I'd follow him around. Otherwise, it's right left. And remember, to get away from everybody, they might just want him in the slot. But
and then,
17
and then you're
is your
Duke
key
Shelley's
player.
On him?
Yeah, Davante Adams is their key player.
Yeah.
I mean, that's who he loves.
Yeah.
And then, to me, he loves Tanya next.
Well, Cobb, too, I feel like, right? I mean,
yeah, he goes
he's got a rapport with Cobb.
Key third down plays, he'll go to Cobb. You know, when he feels like they're going to double, Davante Adams, key third down plays, I think he ends up going to Cobb.
All right.
And those
Beautiful.
Are the bare necessities for the Chicago Bears. And you got to remember now, all these keys go off of Bill Lazor being the offensive coordinator.
Right.
Because, you know, things are not going to happen in a weird way. But with this lack of pass rush, I think there's more of a chance to get those passes downfield like you saw against Detroit. Of the 432 yards that he's thrown for, 209 came against Detroit.
Yeah.
So if you look at the rest of it, it's not
awe-inspiring
by any stretch.
We'll cross this bridge next week because they've got a game to play Sunday. Like, next week, things are going to have to be different than just, hey, run the ball because they're playing Tampa.
Yeah, but doesn't Tampa look bored? Yesterday's game, didn't Tampa look bored? Like, I can't believe we got to play 17 of these before we go to the playoffs and it actually counts. You might catch Tampa at home
bored. They're going to be on rest, though.
Bored.
I don't know. But
you'll catch them bored.
But you can't run on them. That we know.
No.
And so we'll do this next week. Like, okay, now what? This week, Yurko's first key, I mean, his first necessity was you better, you know, do what's worked the last couple of weeks. Because yeah. even without Damian Williams potentially and without David Montgomery, you probably will still be able to eat chunk yardage against this Packers D. The Packers are 29th in defensive run success rate and 29th in rush DVOA. That is near the absolute bottom of the league in terms of their ability to stop the run.
You know what I'd set up next week for Tampa with Bars as my sixth guy? Put him in motion on a four-man side. I'd be whamming the living H out of him. The wham. What makes it look like you're going to take them with the defensive lineman. They bypass you. They go to the linebacker or they step up and block out.
And then
tackle
boom.
Goes to the backer and then you blindside the guy in the ear hole.
The old wham.
That's what you do. You want to make those guys play a little bit more conservatively? You start whamming the living hell out of them, both Villa and Donkey Kong Sue.
Yes.
Well, and the one thing, though, too, like, most teams abandon the run very quickly against the Bucs.
Right, correct.
I mean, they're not even trying, right, Miller? I mean, it's like... The Cowboys on the opener completely just said, forget this. They tried for like a half a quarter and was like, that's not working. Let's try something else. And
I mean, Patriots didn't even try to.
Right? No. I mean, and the Rams beat them without doing it. They really didn't try to run much at all when they beat them. But the Eagles actually had some success, partially because all Jalen Hurts can actually do effectively at the NFL level is pull it down and run.
Right.
Now, Justin Fields, theoretically, that's something that they could use as a blueprint, right? Like, the Eagles were in last night's game. Now, I'm with
you. They rushed for 100 yards, which is kind of rare.
But why? Because, to Yurko's, one of his necessities, right, is that when the defense allows for it, Justin Fields should be encouraged to pull it down and run if they're...
No.
If their eyes are not on you in the backfield, this is an opportunity to go ahead and pick up first downs and get some rushing yards against them.
I mean, the scary part is you put yourself in jeopardy. You do.
Yeah, I know.
You put yourself in a little bit of jeopardy. Mm-hmm. But listen, this is about winning games.
Next week it might be a necessity. Right.
It's not about you being a pocket passer right now. What it is about trying to get first downs, complete third downs, you know, get third down conversions. That's what this is about right now. Finding ways to win football games. If and when you get to the playoffs, you know, then you want to analyze them and say, well, you know, okay, here they are, and they don't really have a chance to go through the playoffs. Well, who cares at that point? Now you're in, anything can happen.
Even if you're putting, like, even if the quarterback's putting themselves in peril a bit, listen, in 2021, all the best quarterbacks take off and run for the most part. Like, outside of Brady, every other elite quarterback, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson,
Russell,
Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, all the best quarterbacks in football have that ability and hopefully be like Russell Wilson. Get out of bounds. Yeah. Get down. You don't have to take these huge hits.
Right.
And if they touch you at all, hey, there's 15 more yards coming your way.
Rodgers is usually a guy that doesn't run, though.
He can go sideline to sideline pretty well. It's going to be a bare necessity for sure next week, like what you guys are talking about, because just handing it off and running into that front in Tampa, forget about it. This week, you should be able to do it, even with the issues you have in the running back room right now. You should be able to. Brandon's in Mount Greenwood. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. All right. First of all, I want to say we've all heard of all the Brady conspiracies. I've never believed in any of them.
That he's a cyborg?
A goat.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
He's a machine?
What's that?
That he's a cyborg? He's not human?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But basically, I mean, he's the goat. We all know that.
Yes.
After watching last night, and hear me out, I have to question it because not him being the GOAT, but this conspiracy, because we all know the spread minus 7.5. I'm sure a lot of us took it, thought he'd be able to cover that. No problem. Now everything was going good. They're up two scores. It's fourth and two and they go for it. All right. That's fine. But he throws a 20 yard pass to pretty much almost in the area of nobody. Doesn't look fazed by it at all. Sanders hasn't been able to move the ball pretty much anywhere the whole game. All of a sudden, he breaks through almost untouched on a couple plays in a row. Hurts goes ahead and pounds it in there, and then they go for two. After they go for two, we get the ball back. Brady's pounding it down the field, gets about the 10-yard line, and there's 2 minutes left on the clock, and they take four knees in a row instead of just running it out or
he means running it into the end zone.
Oh, you mean running it into the end zone. Well, see, the problem here, Brandon, is that you had the that you were on -7. Those of us that were on the +7 felt very good about it. But I don't think that's crazy. Once the last timeout was burned and they got on the other side of the 2-minute warning, that's it. Teams take a knee. That's it.
Yeah, I guess it's the 4th-and-2 bomb. I guess I just didn't understand. But
all right. Well, listen, Brandon. There's.
Trust me, I was on the wrong side of it. I was on the wrong side of it yesterday.
Here
I'm not happy about it.
Is that this guy is up to something? Because
he wants to play till he's 55. He said
he's got the skin of a 20-year-old. There's something's not right. I don't know what they're doing, what they're experimenting with. Meller and I were looking at this. This friggin' guy. This guy's thrown 142 touchdown passes in his 40s, okay?
Yeah.
142. Meller, Meller's going to tell you all the other quarterbacks in NFL history combined how many touchdown passes they threw in their 40s.
And this has actually been bumped up recently because Drew Brees was somewhat successful the last couple seasons.
Are you taking Brady's touchdowns out of this?
Yes. Okay, this is great. All other NFL all quarterbacks other NFL in the history of the league. Touchdown passes thrown after the age of 40 is a total of 234.
234. He's within 100.
Yeah.
By himself.
He wants to play till he's 55. Did you hear that?
I mean, he can't play that long, can he?
This guy. He said today he wants to play till he's 55.
What is this guy? There's something fishy going on here. We got to get to the bottom of this. TV12, I don't know. I mean, 142 touchdown passes in his 40s. And Meller just told you 234 is the grand total in the history of the league for every other quarterback.
I mean, listen, Kenny Stabler, I think, was like 34, 35. He looked like he was 91.
He might as well have been 100.
Right.
It's like the George Blanda picture.
Yeah.
George Blanda looks like, I mean, come on. He looks like he's 75 when he was Brady's age. It's ridiculous.
I know we got a break for Todd Furman, but I wanted to give you two quick baseball nuggets.
Go ahead.
Carter Hawkins has officially been named the general manager of the Cubs. You know, I mean, Jed's still the guy who's
right.
Rich.
Yeah.
And Lance McCullers is not on the ALCS.
Boy, that now should we be roster. Should we be getting all over Boston plus the 115 right now? Interesting. All right, Todd Furman live in Vegas when we come back next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, let's get out to Vegas to talk to our buddy Todd Furman, one of the best in the business. He joins us this time each and every Friday during the football season. Follow him on Twitter at Todd Furman and check out the podcast with Ian Payne Insider, the Bet the Board podcast, wherever you get your pods. Go out to the Corona Hotline. Todd joins Carmen and Yurko now on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Bears not only covered but got the win, and they were getting to be a pretty popular pick last week against Vegas. Look, the Raiders have bunch of their own issues. I don't know how those players are going to prepare for this week. Might be even harder than last week, but I digress. We'll focus on the Bears. Bears are an underdog again, Todd. Any money coming in on the Bears? I don't know. Looks like this line has gone out closer to the Packers getting a touchdown or laying a touchdown now.
Has not been an appetite for the Bears as a home underdog in this particular spot. You mentioned it, Carm. Number opened at 4.5. We've seen it slowly move out to 6. We know the Bears' backfield a little bit banged up. It looks like Khalil Herbert will get the lion's share of the carries there. And I think there's still a lot of pessimism from professional bettors when it comes to figuring out exactly what the Bears' offense is going to be able to bring in a week-in, week-out basis. You kind of nailed it. It was more a play against the Raiders last week than it was an actual bet on the Bears. The other thing, the Packers' offensive line should be a lot healthier this week than what we've seen over the last couple of weeks. And the one thing with Aaron Rodgers, he's been absolutely dominant, much to the chagrin of Bears fans. 21-5 straight up, 19-7 against the spread in 26 career games, and those numbers improve even further when you look at a 10-3 straight up and against the spread mark at Soldier Field.
It's sickening. Any of the similar sentiment going against the Raiders for this week? I mean, they're going on the road to play in the division. Now, they're not a favorite. They are a short dog, but like, is there some sharp money just kind of playing against them considering everything that's happened this week?
This is where we talk about it all the time, is the pros will bet numbers more so than anything else. And when this game opened, Denver -3, immediately you saw support from professional bettors figuring, you know what, we'll lay the 3 with the Broncos and then figure out what to do with it later. Numbers out to 4, I think if we get much higher, you're going to see a little bit of money coming back on the Raiders, because despite the disarray that Vegas is going through right now, Denver hasn't exactly looked like an offensive juggernaut each of the last 2 weeks. So given the familiarity within the division, everything that's at stake with a pair of 3-2 teams, if you didn't have a chance to lay 3, not sure it'd be advisable to lay 4 or higher.
How about the Chargers-Ravens game? I think this is one of the better ones on the board. This is the noon game, so you got the breakfast football situation here for the Chargers. Although, as we've discussed in the past, as teams get smarter and smarter about diet, rest, well-being, it seems like the whole breakfast football thing, that advantage is kind of going by the wayside. Strictly from a numbers, maybe matchup perspective, what do we think about Chargers-Ravens in Baltimore laying about a field goal at home?
I can tell you the betting public thinks that this game is already over and that the Chargers will go into Baltimore and win this game going away. When you look at some of the betting trends, I had some of the folks that we talk to regularly in the risk team at FanDuel send us a note, and they said they've seen about 9 out of every 10 tickets early on coming in on Los Angeles in this particular spot, which blew me away. But when you look at the Chargers, who are 8-1 straight up and against the number their last 9 games overall, they've been lining people's wallets since relocating, especially when they go on the road at 21-10-3. And you can understand why there's concern about how a Ravens secondary that was gashed by Carson Wentz would hold up against Justin Herbert and some of the skill position players he has there. But at the same time, I mean, this is still a Chargers run defense that's given up 180-plus yards in 3 out of 4 games this season. And the one interesting thing about the Ravens, they've actually thrived on short rest. The last 6 games that they've been in this scenario, they're averaging more than 38 points per game, and they've scored 30-plus points in all of those games.
Wow.
It's tied for the longest such streak by any team since 2000. As the number trends down, I can see making a case for the Ravens. It's starting to remind me an awful lot of that Bears-Bengals game where everyone wanted to bet the Bengals. The Bears found a way to cover the closing number by a modest 3-point margin.
I believe the Cincinnati Bengals are 0-2 against the NFC North. They've got an NFC North opponent this week, Detroit Lions. They're giving points
on the road, giving points.
Detroit's been a tough, tough team. You know, with some tough losses there. Is this a position where I might want to take Detroit in the points?
You know, York, this is one of the tougher games for me to try and handicap because knee-jerk, I would have loved to bet Detroit in this spot if Cincinnati had found a way to end up beating the Packers. You do wonder how this team will handle a little bit of prosperity sitting at 3-2 on the season, and you saw the very emotional response from Dan Campbell in the wake of their close loss against the Vikings. The problem being with a number this short is you have to believe that Detroit's going to find a way to make plays in crunch time and actually go out there and win this football game. The only time they've had a number this short in their games, they were a 3-point dog against the Bears. They lost that game 24-14, but I know it was a lot of turnovers and short on down situations, especially in plus territory. My lean would be towards Detroit. I can see using them as a teaser leg, but probably not a game I'm running a tangle with, especially knowing that the matchup advantage for the Bengals will be with their receiving group against a banged-up Lions secondary.
Todd Furman is our guest at Todd Furman on Twitter. Check out his podcast, the Bet the Board podcast. It's with Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Cowboys Patriots, the boys were 5-11 against the number last year. Brutal. 1-6 is a favorite. Through 5 weeks, we've got one perfect team in terms of ATS, the Dallas Cowboys. Ah, you got to love football. A perfect 5-0 unblemished record against the number. Now they're going on the road laying 3.5. Belichick in this spot, 6-1 against the spread as a home dog of more than a field goal. Is this a wait and see game? And you guys talked about it on the podcast this week. Is this a wait and see game to see if the Patriots can get some of their offensive linemen back healthy?
Hands down, the most fascinating game from a line movement standpoint that we're going to see on the board this weekend, because Dallas on a look-ahead number was a 2-point favorite. Of course, they go out there, they take care of a Giants team that lost Daniel Jones early in that contest. New England looked anything but competent despite getting the win against the Houston Texans, and here we are, as you mentioned. Dallas has been a point spread darling so far, and this game actually got bet up as high as Dallas in that 4 range before you started to see a different school of thought take the number back down to a field goal, though there's still plenty of 3.5s out there. You've also seen the over-under toggle back and forth from 48 on the open, got out to 52, and it's come down some. I want to see if New England has the firepower to keep up with a Cowboys offense that's clicking on all cylinders. When you look at this New England defense, I think it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors, but you're not stealing anything by any stretch of the imagination betting Dallas in this particular spot. At 4, 4.5, I could see making a value bet on New England, but I think this one has that wait-and-see approach like you mentioned. You watch the game and you try and figure out exactly what both these teams will be going forward.
How does Texas respond after a heartbreaking loss in a rivalry game last weekend?
It is a great question, and one bettors have kind of tipped their hand. Texas was as much as a 6-point favorite, number now down to 3.5. You get an Oklahoma State team that comes in well-rested off the bye, looking to try and defend their unblemished record. The one thing for Oklahoma State, they've been a little bit limited on the offensive side of the ball, but you're starting to see some skill position talents develop in the likes of Jaylen Warren and Tay Martin alongside Spencer Sanders. Better defense there, which is always going to be attractive with an underdog. I actually like this game under the total a bit. I think it's correlated to the underdog, and I think Texas will find things a little tougher sledding in this spot, especially down one of their key cogs in the wide receiver group as Jordan Whittington has been lost for an extended period of time.
Yeah, total about 60 or 60 and a half in that game. That's a good point. Merkin's worried about his Badgers. Anytime you have to play Army in the middle of the season, and I think Army's coming in with rest. I think Army's coming off a bye. Anytime you have to play Army in the middle of the season, I know they've got like the world's greatest rush defense in Wisconsin, but that's never a good thing when you're trying to lay two touchdowns against Army smack dab in the middle of your conference schedule, is it?
Wait, Merkin's just starting to worry about his Badgers. Listen, he hasn't watched the first handful of games.
He's plenty worried about Merkin.
We've taken a knee in the season already, okay?
Yeah, to avert those eyes. Although I will say that Wisconsin's schedule coming up, not to go on a tangent, they're probably the biggest thorn in Iowa's side if Iowa's going to run the table as far as regular season games are concerned. So it'll be one to keep our eyes on later in October. But there's no doubt taking on Army at any time of the year when you've been accustomed to going against a more traditional Big Ten offenses is going to be a jolt to the system. But what's interesting about this game is we've seen good two-way action, one way on the total and one way on the side. It's money coming in on Wisconsin and money coming in on the under. 42.5 down to 38, Wisconsin 11 out to 14. I think Army is going to have their hands full against this disruptive Wisconsin offensive line. The big question, can Wisconsin score more than 14 points to allow you to cover this game comfortably? But it has all the makings of a 21-3, you know, some 24-10 type football game.
I love it. Lance McCullers, we knew after the start the other day about this forearm thing. He is not on the ALCS roster. Will there be some money coming in on the Red Sox to maybe steal this series at plus 115? What do you think?
You know, surprisingly enough, with that announcement, we haven't seen any money come in on the underdog in the series, but I think this price was already short to begin with good reason. When you look at this Red Sox team, they feel like they're living a charmed life right now, and I have to give Cora a ton of credit. He's been able to cobble together 27 outs with a makeshift bullpen, and I don't think this Astros team, compared to what we've seen in the past, has a massive edge either as far as offensive productivity or on the mound. I think the Red Sox are an extremely live dog, as much as it pains me to say as a Yankees fan. And I can see even going one step further, looking to lay $1.50, $1.60 on the Red Sox plus a game and a half, meaning if they win three games in the series, regardless of advancing, you're still able to cash your ticket.
Nice. All right, how about a few best bets for the weekend?
So, didn't go exactly as planned last week. A couple of rough endgame situations, and hopefully folks were able to grab 3.5 with Nebraska as Adrian Martinez continues to do what he does.
He's killing me, Todd. That's twice
now. It's really insane, and you have to sweat out every Nebraska game. But we put that in the rear view and go forward. We can start in the NFL. Where I'm going to go over the total with Houston and Indy at 43. Davis Mills has had an absolutely grueling slate of opposing defenses he's had to face. We saw Indy's secondary in shambles, and I think the Colts will be able to move the ball with pretty good regularity against this Houston defense. This total's low even for a divisional game. I'll go over 43 there. We'll actually kick things off tonight in college. I'm going to take Cal in the first half, plus 7.5. This is a Oregon team without C.J. Verdell, one of their top two rushers. But the other storyline that I don't think being covered enough is this Oregon defense is outside the top 100 in havoc rate without Kevon Thibodeau. He isn't available for the first half because he took a targeting penalty in the waning stages against Stanford. Chase Garbers, Justin Wilcox, I think they're going to have a special game plan in store to try and take advantage. And we'll do a little dumpster diving on Saturday. Everyone loves to bet teams like South Florida in college football. We'll take the Bulls plus 8 against Tulsa. I just don't think the Golden Hurricane are a team that should be laying more than a touchdown, especially in conference. USF has a chance to win this game outright, but I'll grab them plus the points.
One technical thing here real quick, and the Cal thing I love. I think it's a great it's a great pick. I was looking at it this morning. When you see, and points bet, for example, what I use here in Illinois, Todd, minus 125 at that 7.5 in the first half, and you're looking to one of those juiced up numbers. Why do the books do that?
You know, it's a big mechanism to try and deter professionals from getting a key number, especially when you're looking at an over-under at 28. The difference between 7 and 7.5 can oftentimes change that handicap. So you'll get some recreational folks who aren't as price sensitive who are more than happy to try and take that plus 105, where oftentimes if books have taken a little bit of liability there at plus 7.5, professionals will go, you know what, I can shop around and have a chance to find a 7.5 flat. So that 10 to 15 cent adjustment there is one of the bigger deterrents that you can make towards discouraging those that are really price sensitive.
Todd, you're the best. We love you, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Always a pleasure, boys. And hey, one last thing. I think the Hawks may be live tonight as an underdog in the Devils opener, even with Lankin in between the pipes. It'll be a little bit different sport for them going up against New Jersey after Colorado skated circles around him on opening night.
A little easier tonight, for sure. All right, Todd, we'll talk to you next Friday.
Be good, boys. Best of luck with your picks.
Thanks, buddy. Right. There's Todd Furman, the Bet the Board podcast, at Todd Furman on Twitter. Mike North has the bonus play next.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Let's bring in Mike North quickly here for the bonus play going into the weekend. Odds Couple podcast is going to be up shortly on the ESPN Chicago app. Make sure you check it out. Lots of college and pro talk for the weekend. Plus horses from Jim Miller and Luke Pergandy. Mikey, what do we like for the NFL this weekend?
Oh, Carm, Yurk, it's good to talk to you guys. Hope everything is going well. And, you know, one last week, I had A&M, but I also ended up taking Kansas City. You know, I can't figure them out. But you know what? It's a new week. Good times are be had. You know, Carm, I gave one of our picks on our podcast this morning, and it is Arizona. The Arizona Cardinals against the Cleveland Browns. They might be up to 4 by the end of the week. Who knows? Yep. Cleveland, to me, a lot of pressure on Baker Mayfield right now. I think it's a good matchup with a quarterback that can move. I don't know what the weather's going to be like. If it's windy, it might be a problem. I'd probably put a unit on it. But then, during our podcast this morning, guys, I reacted off a pick that Carm made, and I took it, and Carm will understand it. I want to back myself up and give an exclusive here for Carmen and Yurko, because the game I did take with Carm is an 11 o'clock game.
Oh, boy.
So, you know what? I'm just saying the system works better with a stronger game. So I'm going to back it up with an NFL game. I've seen them all. I know Herbert's good. I know the quarterbacks are all good in the league. But I think it's a week-to-week situation here. I think the LA Chargers are in a bad spot here. I love Lamar Jackson. Yeah. I am taking Baltimore minus the 2.5.
I like it. And I love Herbert, too. I mean, I got a man crush on him. But I think you're right. I think it's a smart bet for this weekend. I'm totally with you on that, Mike. So there you go, Arizona, the points on the road. And Baltimore, Mike, you have a great weekend, buddy. Talk to you next Friday, okay?
I love you guys. Take care.
See you, pal. Right, yeah, Mike and I have we taped this morning. The Odds Couple podcast will be going up very shortly. Follow Mike on Twitter at North to North. And what do we think? Bears win or at least cover? I think the Bears lose by 2. I hate to say that they're going to lose, but I think they're going to make this a game. This should be a good game on Sunday.
I say they come up just short. 21-18, something like
that. It's a cover?
Yeah. But I got them losing by 3. I got the Bears losing by 3. They're in too tough. 20-5 against the 20-5 are the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers against the Chicago Bears.
Isn't that something?
Hard to overcome. You know, that's an 80% win ratio.
Yeah, I know.
So it's hard to pick against them, but I still think the Bears keep it close enough to cover.
Mike and Mike are next. Waddle and Sylvia 2, Black and Abdallah, and then game 1.
Greeny, not Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike. What's the matter with me? Greeny, Mike and Mike. And then we got game 1 tonight, right, of the ALCS. Meller, great work. Jarrett Strauss, Randy Merkin, thank you. Thanks for listening, calling, and participating. And thanks to Mike North and Todd Furman and Paige Baranek for joining us. That was fantastic. Everybody have a great weekend. Go Bears. Enjoy the NFL. We'll see you on Monday. Yurko's got the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have the last word
on Carmen and Yurko.
You've eliminated 90% of your workforce. I can't operate.
That seems
with
to be an arbitrary number.
Well, I mean, an arbitrary number. That's probably damn true.
That was the final word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.